Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's Full Press NFL Sunday. It's week 13 in the NFL, December the 4th. Yes. 2022 is surprisingly almost over. And look, I mean, good riddance. Let's move on. I'm tired of 2022 already. I'm ready for 2023, the year of Michael Jordan. Okay, I just made that up. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but I'm sure there's something that's going to be year of 23, something like that. But no, we're here to talk football, not basketball. We got quite a lineup, quite a set of games here this Sunday, and obviously one of the highlights being Chiefs-Bengals later today. And then, of course, the much-anticipated, both positively and negatively, return of Deshaun Watson. And, of course, also, we actually have some playoff-clinching scenarios today, and one division could be had, and it's probably a division that you would have probably never would have been guessed would have been clinched in the first week of December. So, good morning, Braden. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Good morning to you. It's, like you said, so many good games today. I think I saw five games where both teams have at least seven wins, so could potentially be the best Sunday of the year, and hopefully it lives up to the hype.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, we sit here all the time and say, oh, well, this lineup looks great. We really don't know, because we see great matchups all the time turn into duds because, they, you know, again, you can only anticipate, you know, you can't predict the future. But, you know, particularly, though, like I said, we get the AFC Championship game rematch today, which is obviously the kind of the big game on the docket. Because if you think about it, they can't wrap it up. But a win today for the Chiefs would go a long way into obviously getting closer and closer to wrapping up that number one seed. It would give Andy Reid his 17th, if I'm not mistaken. I had this right in front of me. His 17th season of 10-plus wins, which is only short of just a handful of people, including Bill Belichick and guys of that nature. So pretty big day. You also get Tennessee and Philadelphia. Pretty big game on that end. And Denver and Baltimore. No, I'm just kidding. Not really. No one cares about that. I don't care about Denver and Baltimore. But Miami and San Francisco is obviously the other one that really sticks out to me. And which very sneakily could be a Super Bowl preview just because of how both these teams are playing. I think San Francisco is one of the, if not the best team in the NFC. I think Minnesota, Philadelphia, San Francisco, those are your three teams right now that are really dominating that conference. But yeah, any one of those three I could see going. And of course, Miami, I think they're getting talked about, but I don't know. I feel like they're not getting talked about enough when it comes to the AFC elite. Am I wrong here? Is my perception just a little off?
No, I don't think so. I think probably still just some of the previous perception around Tua, I think, has a big effect on that. But I think you just look at some of his stats, and I know the numbers don't tell everything, but I think just how efficient he's been in places like, you know, the red zone, and I think turnovers for the most part, he's been there at the top pretty much all season. So I think when you look at just kind of the style of play that he has, where quick release and kind of the ball handling skills that he has along with those weapons, I think they definitely, to me, feel like a top three team in the AFC, if not maybe top two.
Yeah, and look, I mean, obviously, I think partly the reason why they're not talked about enough, you know, they get overshadowed by the Bills because the Bills were the, you know, the team coming into the season. And, you know, obviously, I think they're still very much in the mix. But I think Miami very quietly has put together perhaps one of the best, if not the best offense in, or most explosive, I'll say that at least, most explosive offense in the NFL right now. And as we know, I mean, those explosive offenses can go a long way. Now, defense, pretty good unit. Obviously, you know, I maintain that offense is always going to win championships. I don't like the old defense win championships because I think it's very outdated, certainly by the way this game has moved over the last 10 or 15 years. So in this case, I'm not too concerned about a team that has a mediocre defense. I mean, look, Kansas City's defense isn't great, but they're not bad, but they're opportunistic. You know what I mean? Right. And that's really what you need to need to be in the NFL in this day and age if you have an elite offense. So Miami, maybe they're a year too soon, but, you know, then again, We've seen some wilder things happen, but let's focus on that Chiefs and Bengals game real quick before we kind of get into the rest of this and give our game picks and all, do our normal things. Last week, I believe, and this is something that happened in the Bengals game last year with the Chiefs, they struggled a lot in the red zone. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Mahomes threw about, 10 incompletions in the red zone last week?
I believe so, yeah.
Something like that. So this isn't a struggle, you know, I'm not saying it's a struggle, but it's not a situation that's exclusive to the Bengals. But it's certainly concerning when you go back to that second half and how much the Chiefs struggled. And now throw in the fact that you might not have Frank Clark on defense. That's a pretty big loss overall. First off, how do the Chiefs not repeat the second half of last year's AFC Championship game? And if Frank Clark is out, you know, how can you generate that type of pressure on Joe Burrow, who one can escape pressure, mm-hmm. but two can manipulate the pocket and make throws downfield if the pressure doesn't get to him? So two part question.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is really I think you're just kind of seeing Mahomes take what he's getting underneath a lot more. You know, it's a lot simpler for him, I think, than how he ended the season last year. And I know that's something he talked about this week leading up to this game, and kind of something that that got away from him in the AFC Championship game second half. So yeah, I think it's just you kind of see the way this Chiefs team's constructed. I think they're a little bit harder to defend now that you know, Mahomes is kind of using all of his reads and everything. So I think just kind of living off that quick game in kind of the middle of the field, I think that's a place where they can maybe defeat the Bengals is kind of staying away from that perimeter as much as they were last year, but still kind of staying underneath and not really trying to hit those home run shots every time. So I think it's just really the quick game and kind of getting the guys the ball out in space and allowing them to kind of make their magic after the catch. I guess with Frank Clark, I mean, Steve Spagnuolo's kind of been notorious for defensive back blitzes. I know that you don't want to leave these Bengals wide receivers on islands too much, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has some of those defensive back tricks up his sleeve today. Legarius Sneed, probably the top guy for that regard, but I wouldn't rule out other guys like Justin Reed or maybe even Juan Thornhill, if he's good to go today, maybe getting shots like that. But yeah, you mentioned Burrow with his legs. That's just, I think, an area where maybe a lot of people are starting to take more notice of Burrow's game in that area for sure.
I was just going to say, Justin Reed has some talking to back up this week. So, you know, hopefully he's the guy that's going to step up for them. But, you know, you add in the fact that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be back. He's missed the last few weeks. Right. But it really, I don't want to say it hasn't mattered, obviously, because Ja'Marr Chase is a great player, but the Bengals have still been able to succeed without him, which is a really good sign if you're a Bengals fan, because they've clearly moved past those early season struggles. And I'm going to, you know, pat our site on the shoulder a little bit. We had Willie Anderson on back early in September on one of our shows, and he was adamant that the struggles were not a lack of talent, not some regression. It was giving time for the offensive line to really start to come together. It was a fairly new unit, and we've seen that happen. And now, obviously, the five turnover opening day game for the Bengals seems like a distant memory. But this is not going to be an easy one for the Chiefs. I mean, I think again that the Bengals have, you know, their slow start has obviously, you know, not kept them among the discussion with the elites, and I say that like this because we assume Buffalo's elite, but, you know, Kansas City's the only team that's really done anything. So to me, they're probably the only elite team right now, but you have a bunch of really other good teams in Buffalo, Miami. But, you know, what about the Bengals? What about the team that went to the Super Bowl in the AFC last year? So very, very big game for both of these teams. I don't think, I mean, obviously, you can probably say that it's probably a bigger game for the Bengals just because, well, they're still really trying to hold off Baltimore, who's, you know, they're going in the opposite direction right now, but They get Denver today, so you got to assume that it's a good chance that they're going to win. I don't know if I want to say it's more important, but I guess I'm landing on it's probably a little bit more important for the Bengals. So, anyways, I want to get back to real quick the playoff clinching scenarios because I kind of mentioned it when we got into it. The Eagles obviously are one team that, you know, can certainly clinch with a win today. It would only be a wild card, though. I mean, obviously, the NFC East is a very competitive division. However, Minnesota, with a win and not a Green Bay Packers loss, but a Detroit Lions loss, will clinch the NFC North and will become the first team to wrap up their division in 2022, which I don't think any of us would have predicted ahead of the season. I don't think, you know, to say Minnesota would be competitive, yeah, that's expected, but I don't think anyone would have believed that Minnesota would wrap up the NFC North on December 4th. So, shocking, sure, but, I mean, Minnesota's... I mean, as much as I want to keep doubting them, and I will, it's just in my nature to doubt Minnesota, they've proven me wrong quite a bit, and at times have looked very much like the elite team that they should be. And quite frankly, I mean, they got a ton of talent, so they have to be. They should be good. But we know in the NFL, talent doesn't mean anything if you don't put it all together. And right now, Minnesota's putting it all together.
Yeah, and I guess for me, I think the defense was probably the biggest question for me. I thought just didn't really think they'd hold up much in the trenches this season. And obviously, Danielle Hunter's a guy that's dealt with a lot of injuries over the years. And then you just talk about how young their secondary is. A couple early rookies, Lewis Cine and Andrew Booth, are now out with injury. But before they got hurt, they were playing really well. And Harrison Smith just kind of continues to be a machine for the back end of that defense. So you combine that with another kind of a Sean McVay former assistant having a good start as a head coach. And it's just kind of been the perfect recipe to go along with all that offensive talent.
Yeah, and look, I mean, like Kyle said, I mean, I think kind of the expectation for this Vikings team was what we all expected was, you know, they could certainly win the division, but probably likely a wild card team at best. Like, I thought the Packers were going to take a step back because I thought they sorely underestimated the loss of Davante Adams. We're seeing that throughout this season. I didn't think they were going to fall back as far as they had. So, again, shocking from that point of view. So, okay. So, one of the biggest stories of the entire offseason, maybe a saga, I don't know if I want to call it a story, was the Deshaun Watson ordeal. And for what, you know, everything that happened, it's over. And, you know, from a football suspension standpoint, that is over. He will make his debut tonight, or today, against the Houston Texans. Look, he's going to make the Cleveland Browns better. You know, we saw them upset the... I'm not even going to call it an upset over the Buccaneers. Like, we saw them beat the Buccaneers last week and under Jacoby Brissett, and I got to imagine that they're going to be better. How much better, I don't know, because the reality of it is, it's been nearly 2 years since Deshaun Watson played football. And before that, the last time we saw him, he was leading the league in passing yards. However, and this is something that I've always kind of, you know, put with a caveat, like, I don't really care if you're leading the league in passing if you're 4-12. Because right. To me, the opportunity to pass has likely been inflated because of your other struggles and the other struggles across the board. You know, I always point to, like, Jameis Winston throwing five. Great. He also threw 30 interceptions, which gave him certainly more opportunity to, one, throw, and two, play from behind. So I'm not impressed with 5,000 yards in a losing season. Give me 5,000 yards in a winning season, and then we'll talk. His talent is there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's, you know, where he's ultimately going to land, I'm not quite sure, because I know people were talking about him acquiring him as, like, some tier one guy. I'm not sold that he is, because, like I said, first of all, we haven't seen him in 2 years. Second, how do you go 4-12? I'm as an elite quarterback, as a tier one quarterback, what we're, you know, again, this is the expectation, or this is what I've been, or I, or we have been sold about Deshaun Watson, and Cleveland certainly believed it because they paid one hell of a price for him. As a tier one quarterback, as an elite quarterback, how do you go 4-12? And it's kind of rhetorical, but I guess I'll open the door for your thoughts on Watson's return, and maybe you can talk me out of that train of thought.
Yeah, I guess first off, I guess just you mentioned the, you know, 2 years since he's played. I guess I'm just a little surprised how many people kind of believe he's going to step right back in and have so much success right away. And granted, you said, you know, kind of the talent he has. But I guess we saw, you know, for different circumstances, Michael Vick in Philadelphia maybe is kind of a good example. But yeah, I guess I'm just kind of shocked to see how many people think he's going to step in right away and be the same old guy. But yeah, as far as going 4-12, I mean, you kind of look at the Texans now, they look like an expansion roster, and they had a lot more talent back then with Watson when he had the 4-12 season. So I feel like things like decision-making and things like that, and just, you know, kind of the fourth quarter comebacks he was able to achieve, that was something that really stood out, I think, as far as one of his top talents when he was rolling in Houston. But I think that's an area where I'm most excited to kind of see, you know, where he's at right now. It's not obviously going to be easy to be right back at the top with that tier, but I think just seeing how much he's struggling a little bit in the preseason action he had this year, I don't know. I don't really know what the best word is for it, but I think it's just, it's almost like, I think you need to put the training wheels back on for the rest of this season and kind of just have a clean slate going into 2023.
Well, and look, I think one of the things too, that's, I don't know if it's really been talked about a lot, but how is he going to handle being rooted against by everyone except for Cleveland Browns fans? And I'm not talking about, well, of course, if you're playing the Browns, your team's playing the Browns, you're going to root against them. I'm talking about rooting for him to fail. Like, everywhere he goes, certainly this season, he's going to be met with, you know, and rightfully so, a lot of animosity, a lot of vicious words. And look, not every player, not every person, I mean, sometimes we think of these people as robots, and they just, whatever, just compartmentalize, forget about it. The quarterback position is very mental. And right. If the moment Deshaun Watson starts to lose his focus, and I don't know how mentally strong he is. I'm not talking about mental health. I'm talking about in the context of football and being focused. And, like, look, I mean, I bring up Tom Brady because, like, you know, there's so many examples of things that go on in the past that he can compartmentalize. We've seen him do that. Deshaun Watson, I don't know if he can or not. And to your point about Michael Vick, unfortunately, or I don't want to say unfortunately, but for Deshaun Watson, he doesn't have Andy Reid, who I think was a massive, massive reason as to why not only he succeeded physically, but he succeeded mentally as well. Because, again, another situation coming into a very hostile territory. And not just in the sense of, oh, we're playing your team, so I hate you. No, you did X, Y, and Z, so we think you are a bad person, and we're going to let you know about it. That's got to affect people on the football field, and certainly a guy like Watson, who, again, he may say all the right things in front of the camera, but he's got to find that confidence, and if that confidence never comes, this could be an utter disaster. Fortunately for the Browns, I don't think it's going to get much. It's not going to be worse than what Denver's going through right now with their quarterback. So,
yeah, I guess just one other thing kind of to add to that is just, I wonder what the locker room is kind of like. I mean, obviously I didn't really see maybe what Brissett said last week, but I know that was kind of going around of, you know, kind of giving one last pep talk, so to speak. So I know not everyone's obviously going to be on his side, but you talk about just the history and kind of obviously woefulness that's been going on with that franchise, and can't really imagine it.
No, yeah, no, not at all. So, all right, let's jump into it. We got game picks. We got a lot of really good games here, and some of them we haven't even mentioned. And we're gonna start right off the bat with Washington at the Giants. Which, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, would I be circling the Commanders at the Giants in December? I'd be like, yeah, I'd be circling that game to completely skip and forget about, because likely those two teams would be out of the playoff hunt. That's not true. They're both in the mix. The Giants, I think we've talked about for a few weeks. I think the Giants are just a year too early. So, you know, we've kind of seen them, you know, level out a little bit over the last couple weeks, and that's fine. I mean, I don't think they're regressing. I just think, again, sometimes you overachieve, and I think that might be a good precursor for what's to come for this team. I think ultimately they're going to have to upgrade the quarterback position if they're looking to compete for a Super Bowl, but nonetheless, they're in competition right now, and the reason why the Philadelphia Eagles at 10-1 cannot clinch the division today with a win, they can only clinch a wild card. So with Washington heading to New York, I like the Commanders. I mean, their defense is playing really well. I don't think Chase Young is going to be out there, but 5-1 in their last six games. Taylor Heineke is playing good football, good enough football, and this team is really, it's getting harder and harder to pick against them because they just keep winning football games. So I'm not going to pick against them, and I'm going to pick the Commanders.
It's kind of funny to see once in a while those head-scratching decisions from Heineke, but yeah, I think it's just the energy that he gives this team. I think that's what just stands out the most to me, and yeah, the defense is really taking shape as well, like you mentioned. I think the secondary, Kendall Fuller, guys like that have kind of rebounded, especially with Benjamin St. Juste dealing with injuries, has been a huge difference maker. And also the injuries with the Giants, that's just kind of decimated them all of a sudden. So I'll go with Washington.
All right, next, another game that is surprisingly competitive. We talked about Minnesota already, but they're hosting the Jets, who, you know, look, they could have a lot of questions at quarterback. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out the rest of this year and going into next year. But they've been very competitive. I think they're going to be competitive today. However, I do not think they're going to win. So I like Minnesota at home.
I actually went with the Jets today, and maybe this might be a week where I think I'm kind of just rooting for a lot of what I want to see more than anything. I think this defense, I think, can actually challenge Minnesota. And I know it's 1 p.m., but Kirk Cousins against this pass rush is going to be, I think, a little bit testy for Minnesota. So I'll go with Mike White leading another victory today.
All right. First of the big three games on the slate, Philadelphia hosting Tennessee, obviously the A.J. Brown Bowl, playing his first game against his former team. I like Philadelphia in this one. I think this is going to be – I don't think they're going to win by – maybe more than 3 points. I think Tennessee is the type of team that can give you absolutely everything that you can handle, and just about any team in the league is going to do that. I think Philadelphia is better, obviously, and I think that's why they're going to pull off this win at home. But we're going to be talking about this and saying, wow, maybe Tennessee is even better than what we thought, because, you know, they held Jalen Hurts or they held A.J. Brown to X, Y, and Z. So going to be a tight game. I think a lower scoring game than anticipated, but I like Philadelphia in this one.
I like Philadelphia as well. I think with Vrabel and kind of just the speed they have up front, this is definitely a team I think that can kind of contain Jalen Hurts this week. So I'm going to be watching for that today. But I do think Philadelphia squeaks it out just because a little bit more playmakers on the offensive side.
All right. Next, we have Jacksonville at Detroit. We mentioned Detroit earlier. They have to lose and Minnesota has to win in order for the Vikings to clinch the NFC North. I think they are going to lose. So I think by the end of Sunday, we're going to have Minnesota as the NFC North champion because, I mean, great come-from-behind win for Trevor Lawrence last week. Really starting to show a little bit more of that can't-miss prospect, you know, for Jacksonville. And I think they ride that momentum against a Detroit team who's, they're good. I mean, that's about the best I can describe them. You know, they can score on offense. They play hard for Dan Campbell. And that's always good for something. I just don't think it's going to mean much today. I think Jacksonville is going to pull this one off.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just maybe the weak NFC playoff picture and me wanting to believe the Lions still have a shot. I went with them today. I think they have a obviously winnable schedule down the stretch. It's just, can they finish games? I'll go out on a limb and say they do somehow today.
All right, next, Denver at Baltimore. I think this is a blessing for Baltimore, who has really struggled lately. I think they're going to struggle today, too, because Denver, for what it's worth, they have a really good defense. Unfortunately for them, though, they have one of the worst offenses in the league, bar none. I think someone posted from a fantasy perspective, Russell Wilson was quarterback 33 last week, and there's only 32 teams in the league. So you can kind of figure out where that's going. I like Baltimore. Again, it's not going to be pretty because I think Baltimore has a lot of issues, and this is going to be a chance to stave off the Bengals, I think, for maybe an extra week because maybe the Bengals lose tonight. But I like Baltimore just because I have to pick, and I'm not going to pick Denver at all the rest of the way. So,
Ravens. Yeah, not a whole lot to add to that one. I do want to see how the Ravens handle the receivers, even with Russell Wilson's struggles. Cortland Sutton's kind of hit on a few big plays here and there lately, but yeah, not really much to add to that one. I'll go with the Ravens.
All right, next we have Pittsburgh at Atlanta. Pittsburgh has JJ or TJ Watt, so I'm gonna take Pittsburgh. It's really about it. I mean, Atlanta is a scrappy team that's capable of showing some nice things on film, but they're not a good team. Marcus Mariota is a limited quarterback. They have limited weapons both on offense and defense. And like I said, Pittsburgh's not too much better, but TJ Watt, that defense, I'll trust them on the road. So give me the Steelers.
I went with the Atlanta today. I don't really have a great reason. I do think they can run a little bit on Pittsburgh. And I just think this defensive front for the Falcons has quietly done well. So maybe get after Kenny Pickett a little bit today, but not a lot of confidence, but I'll go with Atlanta.
All right, next we have Green Bay at Chicago. And as bad as Green Bay has played throughout this season, there's not a chance in the world I'm going to pick them against the Chicago Bears, especially when you have the all-time NFL wins lead on the line. Both the Bears and the Packers are sitting at 786 career franchise or franchise victories. Obviously, the Packers and Bears date back much farther than many other teams in this league. However, this is a pretty important thing, which, you know, was kind of talked about earlier in the season, and we kind of expected this to be a runaway for Green Bay, but since Green Bay has been struggling, it's been kind of just hanging out here for the last couple of months. I like Green Bay in this one. I really don't have any other reason other than they just beat Chicago every single time with Aaron Rodgers, so that's what I'm rolling with. That's what I'm betting on, and that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I went kind of with the same logic as you, so not really a whole lot to add. I wonder about Green Bay's injuries a little bit. David Bakhtiari kind of quickly ruled out late in the week, and then we'll see what happens with Devondre Campbell. But, yeah, it's kind of just the old history that you have to take Aaron Rodgers against Chicago.
Yeah, this game could be just awful to watch for 3.5 quarters, and Packers may be down, but I'm still not going to bet against them. Next is that Cleveland at Houston game. And look, this is to me, and I said this on FPC Radio, I think this is by far the easiest game to pick, the easiest upset to pick, and it's Houston. And I'll tell you why. For a lot of the reasons we talked about before. First, Deshaun Watson hasn't played football in 2 months. Second, I have no reason to believe that he has this unshakable confidence and ability to come in and ignore all the noise surrounding him. On top of playing against his former team, I think there's way too many factors working against it. I know Cleveland on paper is a better team. Deshaun Watson's a better quarterback on paper, at least we assume, than what Houston is going to roll out with. And even without, I don't even know if Brandon Cooks is going to play this week.
Yeah, I think he's out.
Yeah, I think he's out. So I don't care. I don't care. This is still, to me, the easiest upset pick of the weekend and the most obvious one. So give me Houston.
Yeah, I went with Houston as well. I mean, it's not just the injury the reasons that you mentioned, but it's kind of just something you kind of expect in the NFL. A big win like Cleveland got last week, coming into a massive letdown in a game that you think should be a gimme. So that's kind of also something that I'm banking on today. So yeah, I went with Houston as well.
All right, next we have Seattle at the Rams. Seattle. Look, no Matt Stafford. He's probably done for the season. We can discuss his future at another time, but beyond this season. But right now, Seattle, they're just a better team. I mean, there's a lot of better teams than the Rams right now. So there's nothing about the Rams, especially without Aaron Donald, that's going to give me confidence to think they're going to be able to upset Seattle. So Seattle by, I don't know, 10 plus.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford's still helping out the Lions in some way with that first round pick going to Detroit this upcoming spring from the Rams. But yeah, this is a big one for Seattle to kind of have this kind of matchup at this time. They've been floundering a little bit of late. Mm-hmm. Tough overtime loss last week, so kind of a get right game for them. I went with the Seahawks.
All right, next we have the second of the three really big games this weekend. Miami at San Francisco. The dreaded Christian McCaffrey popped up on the injury report, happened this week, and that's something obviously to monitor because, again, that's the risk you run with Christian McCaffrey. We'll see what happens with it. I like Miami in this on the road against San Francisco. I think San Francisco is favored. I wish I actually had those numbers in front of me. I don't know if you have them or not.
Yeah, I think 3.5. Was
yeah,
the last
which is essentially your home field. That's generally what you're going to get for having home field. But I like Miami in this one. I think they're going to, I think Mike McDaniel has intimate knowledge, obviously, of the 49ers. I think they're talented enough to exploit a lot of their weaknesses on defense. And look, if Christian McCaffrey doesn't go, I don't know if there's been any word officially whether or not he's going to suit up, but whether or not he's in there or out there, I just think this is a week for Miami. And I think what we talked about prior, where not too many people are talking about the Dolphins, I think a lot of people are going to start jumping on that bandwagon for the Dolphins, because not only are they going to win this game, the Bills played on Thursday. So in terms of NFL world, they're forgotten about. Who cares about who played on Thursday? No one cares about who played on Thursday. So Miami has an opportunity to kind of have that spotlight to themselves, so to speak, and really come through with a signature win in front of a lot of eyes. So I like the Dolphins in this one very confidently.
I went with the Dolphins as well, and I almost went San Francisco, but I just think when this defense has faced tougher matchups, it hasn't been very frequent this season, but they really have struggled against kind of this explosive type of attack in the past. And I think this is just going to be a perfect game for Tua to kind of maybe etch his name closer up to the MVP conversation. I think he's kind of third in the betting odds right now, but if there was ever a chance for someone else to kind of step in and if Mahomes were not to win it, I think Tua, this is going to kind of be a statement game for him. And I think it'll be a very fun game to watch, but I went with the Dolphins here.
Yeah. And look, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is very firmly in the MVP race lead, but things change very quickly in this league, And a subpar, and I say that relative to what we expect from Mahomes, a subpar performance against the Bengals and a big-time performance from Tua, or even Jalen Hurts, all of a sudden, right, those, that lead shrinks significantly, and you can see that start to sway very quickly, because that's just the nature of the NFL and how we discuss things. All right, speaking of Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City at Cincinnati. I think if this were at Arrowhead, I would have probably taken the Chiefs, but I think these teams are both very evenly matched up, and I think the Bengals are just, I don't know. I don't think they're the better team. Even if they win, I don't think they're a better team. I think, like we said before, this means a little bit more to them in terms of this season. And it gives me the feeling that Cincinnati's going to come out and kind of do a lot of the same things they did last year and have some success with it. And I just like Joe Burrow a lot. I think he's playing really good football. I like Patrick Mahomes a lot, as much as people don't believe that. Trust me, I do. I like Cincinnati at home, and I think that's ultimately where I'm, again, if it was flipped, if it was in Arrowhead, I'd probably take the Chiefs. But right now, I'm going to go with the Bengals in this one.
Yeah, it's just studying this Bengals team. I mean, man, I just really like how willing they are to adjust and just kind of throw a lot of different things at you. And you mentioned how big of a game this is for them, but I think the reason I had to go Kansas City is I think they've just had this game, you know, burning in their minds for so long. And I think just
that's a good point.
The offseason moves they made, I think, was kind of meant for this opponent. And I just think there's going to be just so much motivation to kind of get back some games that they should have had last year. So definitely not not going to be surprised if the Bengals win this one. But I think for those reasons, I had to go and pick Kansas City.
All right, next we have the Chargers heading to Vegas to take on the Raiders. You know, Raiders, big win last week. Josh Jacobs, 300-plus yards running. Don't think he's going to do that again this week. And if he does, well, then I'll be wrong because I'm taking the Chargers. And if they allow 300 yards rushing, then they're definitely not going to win. So, yeah, like I said, I'll take the Chargers because they're better. How much better? I don't really know, but this Chargers team has been one of the bigger disappointments this year, and my confidence in picking them week in and week out is waning. But I am pretty confident this week in going LA.
I went with the Raiders, and maybe it's just what I've seen the last couple weeks, but I do think there's just something that they're doing right now that's kind of giving these top teams you know, some questions, and seeing the Chargers eke out the way they did in Arizona, I think just still gives me some pause. So kind of a shot in the dark, but I'll go with the Raiders today.
All right. Next, Indianapolis at Dallas. I mean, I like Dallas. They're just a better team across the board. Yeah, look, I'm not complete, like, you know, the whole Jeff Saturday thing. I mean, people were up in arms about that. But my point was we've seen so many failed head coaching hires that have come up through the ranks every single year. So why the hell not take a shot in the dark and see what happens? They're just not good enough, no matter who's coaching them, to beat Dallas. And I think the only thing that's going to stop Dallas from winning this game is Dallas, because they are capable of getting in their own way. I just don't think it's going to happen at home this time. So Dallas by a decent amount, nothing too crazy, maybe 7 points.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I guess I wish it wasn't Dallas and that whole that kind of, you know, Jerry's World and all that kind of stuff. I wish we would have got this game flexed out, but you know, it's not going to happen with the Cowboys. I mean, really, it's a game I expect them to win pretty dominantly today. So big pass rush, a lot of speed up front against Matt Ryan. Sounds like a pretty good recipe for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and certainly a good recipe for going to bed at a decent hour tonight, because like you, I don't mind watching the highlights of this one in the morning. So, all right, we're going to pick Monday nights because it's on my sheet, and I didn't, New Orleans at Tampa, I'm going to take the Buccaneers. I mean, I have no good reason to. I really don't. I have to believe that they can beat the Saints, because as bad as things are going for the Buccaneers right now, they're probably even worse for the Saints. So, Buccaneers at home? Question mark?
Interesting stat I didn't really realize until going into this week. New Orleans leading the league in turnovers right now. I think worst turnover differential in the league. So, maybe that's going to give Tampa Bay a little bit of a boost and kind of get them rolling, seeing these guys. And just a really watered-down version of a club that is really deprived of talent. So, yeah, I'm going Tampa Bay as well.
I don't have any data, or I haven't checked the numbers, but I gotta believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are probably one of the worst, if not the worst team in creating turnovers. So it'll be interesting to see which levy breaks there, because, you know, the Buccaneers, obviously they've had one interception in 2 months. They've had one fumble forced in about the same amount of time. I mean, really, the last time they created multiple turnovers in a game came against Kansas City, and that was, what, week four? So, yeah. You know, it's been a long time. So I'll be interested to see what happens in that game. But for now, we're going to say goodbye. Be sure to stay tuned here on Full Press Radio, Full Press NFL on Twitter, and, of course, Full Press Coverage, YouTube, wherever you want to find our videos. They're all out there, Twitch, Facebook, of course. Our Full Press Fantasy Live show with Kyle Sutton is coming up here at about 11:30. So you got about 15 minutes to go get your snacks, go get your drinks, come in with your questions, and get ready for another entertaining setup for today's Sunday action. And we will be back next Sunday to preview Week 14 as we're really kind of getting to the nitty-gritty when it comes to figuring out who's going to be in the playoffs. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Like I said, be sure to head over to fullpresscoverage.com and check out all the latest and greatest coming from everyone over there. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.